From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, coming up as the community of Oso, Washington, recovers from the landslide there last month. We will hear from another Washington community where landslides are just a fact of life.
Yeah, but first, two ships, one from Britain, another Australian, are now looking underwater for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, almost 4 weeks after the jet disappeared and just days before the plane's black box recorders, which emit a signal, are expected to run out of batteries. Australian Air Chief Marshal Angus Houston, coordinating the search off his country's coast, said the British Royal Navy survey ship HMS Echo and the Australian Navy supply ship Ocean Shield are tracing a 149-mile long area where the plane is most likely to have gone down. Australia is vowing to continue the search, but Australia's Prime Minister Tony Abbott yesterday had this to say.
A large aircraft seems like something that would be easy enough to locate, but a large aircraft that all but disappeared and disappeared into inaccessible oceans is an extraordinary challenge.
Andy Pastor is with the Wall Street Journal. Andy, he says extraordinary. It sounds impossible.
Close to impossible. You're looking at an area of about 86,000 square miles overall, and now their search underwater, I think, is more a sign of a last-minute hope for luck than really a hopeful sign that things are going well. They're starting to look underwater, even though they haven't found any debris on top, which means that they're taking a stab that this is the best place it's at. But to put some sobering perspective on it, the pinger, the device that they use, the pinger locator, the device they use to try to locate the black boxes, has to be towed about 1 or 2 miles per hour. And you're looking at a gigantic area, of course, and the black boxes could be 2.5 miles under the water. So this is really not only unprecedented, but I think folks are running out of realistic hope that anything will be found soon.
Well, Australia's Prime Minister described the search as possibly the most difficult in human history. But you mentioned this pinger. The Ocean Shield is equipped with this American device, the towed pinger locator. Tell us more about that.
Well, this is a device that it has is able to pick up the acoustic pinger, basically the signals from the black box, but it has to be within 1 mile of the box. So that gives you, and perhaps less if the topography of the ocean bottom has various shapes. So therefore, you have to really be right on top of it. And in fact, in the Air France investigation and crash that people have talked so much about in 2000, which occurred in 2009, the searchers actually passed over the black box with a very similar device, and they didn't hear it because the batteries were dead, and they just didn't. They had to go back in the area again. So this is very sophisticated equipment, but I would say the chances, realistically, of finding something in the next few days before the batteries expire are very, very slim. And you can hear it in the voices of the Australians who are doing a valiant effort to try to find what they can. But they've acknowledged from the beginning, they've been very pragmatic, that if they don't find debris, it's almost impossible to know where the aircraft actually is.
Well, still the search goes on, as we are saying, below and above the waters. Up to 10 military aircraft, 4 civilian jets, 11 ships went to the area today. And by the way, one of those jets belonged to Peter Jackson, the Hobbit director. He sent his $80 million private jet to look. I mean, this is pretty extraordinary.
It is, and it's a valiant effort, as I said, and the countries are cooperating, but when the big storms come in the winter time in Australia, which is only a week or two away, I think it'll become virtually impossible to continue searches.
And Andy, just briefly, what happens with the inevitable legal issues that come up? A Chicago law firm is already preparing for what could be a multimillion-dollar lawsuit against Malaysia Airlines and Boeing over the disappearance. But how do you carry out a lawsuit with nothing? There's just nothing.
Well, I think there'll be lots of maneuvering and lots of posturing, but it'll be very difficult to litigate this until something is found or until more information is known. But more important than that, I think, the aviation industry has worked for decades and has become so safe because they work on facts and they adjust their systems and tweak their systems and improve their systems based on accidents sometimes, but lately there have been so few accidents. It's based on incidents, incipient threats that are realized, and then things are done to make the system even more safe. And there's an incredible amount of frustration among airline officials, regulators, air safety experts, because there simply aren't facts to get lessons learned. So we're really looking at a situation where there's some proposals around the margins to change some things like tracking of aircraft by satellite and so on. But the nub of the problem is, the crux really is, we don't know what happened, and it's very hard to get lessons if you don't know what happened.
Yeah. Andy Pastor, senior special writer for the Wall Street Journal, as the search for Flight 370 goes underwater, two ships that are going to travel under the sea and meet up. It sounds pretty incredible. Andy, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Very good. Thank you.
And it's just unbelievable that weeks now later, they still haven't found anything. Every time I look up at a television screen and it says breaking news, I think, oh, they must have found something from the plane. But so far,
nothing.
Still nothing.